Your favorite music. Well, it just makes you sad.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Listening to a certain song can give us chills, and music has been known to change our behavior, from helping cure insomnia to getting shoppers to spend more money at the mall. What about sad music? A recent study suggests that listening to sad songs causes the mind to wander, leading to self-reflection, which can ultimately help us feel better. And we've all turned to that sad song at a sad time, which for some reason seems to work. John Powell is a scientist and a musician. He holds a PhD in physics from Imperial College at London University and a master's degree in music from the University of Sheffield in Great Britain. He's the author of Why You Love Music, From Mozart to Metallica, The Emotional Power of Beautiful Sound. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, hi, Rob. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, before we get to the sad music part of it, remind us, we've talked to you about music and our emotions and our physiology before, but remind us of how powerful an effect music can have on the way we think and feel.
Well, music can affect us in loads of different ways, from loads of reasons. And if you ever watch a film without music, you'll find yourself being far less involved emotionally. Music is one of the main emotional transmitters during a film. It really highlights all the effects that they try and give you visually. For example, it's very much easier to surprise somebody with the music rather than the imagery. So they often rely on that. And the really peculiar thing is that they can really heighten the emotion of a emotional climax of the film by playing the wrong music immediately beforehand. For example, if someone's looking for someone in the woods, and they're worried about where they are, and they play happy, jolly music, and then they find the person's in deep trouble, it's very much more shocking because you had the happy music beforehand. And if the reverse happens, if the person's looking for someone in the woods, and there's all gloomy and terrifying music playing in the background, when they actually find them and they're safe and well, you feel very much more relieved. And music without a film obviously has the same sort of effects on us. It can make us joyful, and as we'll come on to hear in a minute, there's a peculiar thing that happens with sad music.
Yeah, let's get into that. Some new research, but I guess in some ways it's not that surprising, given the existence of the blues, for example. Listening to sad music can actually do good things for us. Why?
Yeah. I mean, you have to bear in mind that all music, no matter what it's purported to give you emotionally, is designed to be pleasurable. So even sad music is designed to be pleasurable. If there really was genuine music around in the world that made you feel miserable, it would be very unpopular. So you wouldn't hear anything of it. But basically, music has lots of ways it stimulates your brain and lots of ways it captivates the pleasant side of our life. And so even sad music makes us smile, makes us happy. I mean, there's loads of stuff... The country and western stuff, the music generally isn't actually that sad, but the lyrics are very sad. You've got two things at play here. You've got the music going on and these sad lyrics underneath. So you might empathise with the singer who's got this dying dog, as they often have in country and western, or a love affair gone wrong. And you might empathise with that, but you're not deeply involved yourself. There's a big difference between listening to happy music and sad music. The main thing is that when you listen to happy music, you recognize that the person that wrote it and performed it designed it to be happy. You recognize that fact. And also, you automatically get happy about it as well. You genuinely become happier. And you can measure the chemicals in your bloodstream, and you can see that serotonin is coming into play, and dopamine and so on, which means that you are genuinely getting happier. So these are real, genuine effects. When you hear sad music, something peculiar happens. You recognize that it's sad. You recognize that somebody wrote this and sang this with sadness in mind. But you don't get involved. You don't involve your own emotions in the sadness. You sort of observe it as a sad event or a sad description. But you keep your distance and you remain pleased by the music. And so, in fact, you end up being quite happy about the whole thing.
Okay, I'm thinking of what I hear about things like cognitive behavioral therapy, where people are trained to distance themselves from a compulsion or a trauma or things like that. I mean, is something similar going on? We're dealing with something like our emotions, but at a step removed, and that makes us feel better?
Yeah, it's very complicated, and they haven't actually got to the bottom of it. The psychologists involved in the research haven't really got to the bottom of why we enjoy sad music quite so much. there's lots of theories around. One of them is that, just like watching a sad play, what we can do is we can explore sadness in our lives without actually being exposed to genuine sadness. And we find that interesting and pleasurable in some way. So you're basically just having a look at this sad thing that's not happening to you. Don't think it's a thing where you see something bad happen to somebody else and think, I'm glad it isn't happening to me. But, you know, the Schadenfreude thing. But it's not that. Basically, what we're doing is experiencing some sort of sadness and playing with the sadness, but it actually doesn't make us sad at the same time.
We're talking to John Powell. He's the author of Why You Love Music, and we're talking about why we love sad music in particular, the emotional benefits of sad music. Is there something inherent in music that we know it's scientifically this is sad music, or is it culturally defined? Do we grow up reading things as sad?
Well, there are quite a few things that indicate to you whether the music is designed to be sad or not. As I say, you don't generally get sad with the music. You just recognize it as being sad. The main musical signal that gives you a clue as to what music is supposed to be doing is its speed. And you'll find that sad music is nearly always slow. Because if you speed up the music, even if you get a sad piece of music and speed it up, it sounds happier and happier. So the slowness is one thing. In the West, we are encultured to we hear major and minor keys, and even though if you're not a musician, you don't know, you couldn't describe what a major or minor key was, but we hear them all the time, and so we get used to the fact that this is a major or minor key. So just like you can appreciate flowers without knowing what their names are. So you have major and minor keys, and minor keys are rather more complicated than major keys. And complicated emotions are generally, sad emotions are generally more complicated than happy emotions. I think it was Tolstoy that said, happy families are all happy the same way. Sad families are all miserable in their own particular way. So sadness tends to be a more complicated emotional response to what's going on. And the more complicated minor key seems to be suitable for that sort of thing.
In Spinal Tap, we heard that D minor was the saddest of all keys. Is there anything to that, or is there a scientifically sadder key?
Actually, peculiarly enough, I did the research on whether the named keys themselves have any differences to your response. And in fact, there's absolutely nothing in it. It's an old tale that has no truth in it. Basically, A minor is as sad as B minor, is as sad as C minor, and A major is as happy as B major is as happy as C major. They're all the same. There is a difference between the minors and the majors, but picking one and saying this is more sad than that one is just madness. And I did some research on it, and we proved it categorically.
Well, you shared one of your favorite sad songs with us. I want to give a little listen to it and then talk to you about it a little.
Talk to me of Mendocino. Must I wait? Must I follow? Won't you say?
Okay, so we've got the slow pace there, some sad lyrics, it sounds like. Tell us about this song a little bit. Talk to Me of Mendocino by Kate and Anna McGarrigle.
Well, it's a very well-written song. It's very beautiful. The words are very sad. This girl's got a love affair gone wrong in New York, or New York State, actually, she says. And she's harking back to Mendocino. And I've never been to Mendocino. I don't even know where it is. I think it's in California. I'm not sure. But you can empathize with her having this emotional turmoil, but obviously you're not involved, so you can sort of observe it without getting too sad about it yourself. But the music is just so beautiful, and their singing is incredible. Yeah, so basically, although the words transmit a story, the music is just a beautiful accompaniment, and so you can appreciate both things. I mean, we all appreciate sad stories. We watch films with sad parts in them, and some films are just sad all the way through, but that isn't generally the case. And the same with novels and stories, you know. It can't be happy all the time, so it's pleasant to explore sad stories.
And before I let you go, I want to ask about the role of memory and association in this, a random sad song versus one that we associate with a time or a moment in our lives.
Yeah, this is an odd thing, because you can actually get genuinely sad from a happy song if it evokes a memory of happier days. You know, if you've recently got divorced and then a song comes on the radio which was your tune, that can make you genuinely miserable, even though it could be a really happy tune. So one of the ways that music does evoke emotions in humans is from the relationship between your memories and what was happening at the time in the music. So music itself can evoke memories, but also the association of the music can evoke emotions from that time.
We'll leave it there. John, thanks again for joining us.
No problem. Anytime.
That was scientist and musician John Powell. He's the author of Why You Love Music, From Mozart to Metallica, The Emotional Power of Beautiful Sound. He joined us for a look at the science of sad songs. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy listening to sad music? What's your all-time favorite sad song, however you define that? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take your calls and play some favorites in just a minute here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing with our sad song theme, and we're going to talk about our favorites now, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. We just heard some of the science behind sad songs and why they can make us happy for some reason. What is your favorite sad song, and do you turn to sad or downbeat music when you're in a bad mood, or do you go for something happier to turn that frown upside down? Weigh in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Halima Shah joins us now. She's a Central Time producer and sad song aficionado. Hey, Halima.
Hey, Rob.
So do you turn to sad songs when you're in a down mood or a bad mood?
It actually has very little to do with my mood. I am generally just very into sad songs. And you can tell by the sound of my voice that I'm actually very joyful to be talking about this. I think there's just something about the catharsis that sad music gives you. There's not always time or ways to like articulate those really sad emotions. We don't really like to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of sad or dreary songs. And I don't always realize that they are. You know, sometimes I think, oh, this song would be great for bumper music on the show. And then I go to like record it and I realize, this is way too downbeat and depressing to put on the show. So, yeah, I don't even think about it. I just listen to it all the time.
No, you really don't think about it. And I think the other thing is that when you work in radio, everything like has a meaning. Every song you pick has to have something to do with the theme. When it comes to my own personal life, it doesn't matter if I had a good day. I just want to hear a sad song.
Well, we'll play a couple of our favorites in just a bit. But let's go to your calls right now. Randall is on the line in Manitowoc. Randall, hi.
Hi.
What's your sad song, Randall?
Well, the first one that came to mind is Lonely Street by Andy Williams.
And do you turn to this when you're feeling sad, or is this just a song you like any time?
I like it any time. I don't hear it much anymore.
And do you have it on something you can play at home, CD, whatever?
No, actually, I don't. Maybe I'll get it.
I think that's a good idea. Randall, thanks so much for calling in and getting us started.
Thanks for that call, Randall. I think a lot of times that there are sad songs that just play in our mental soundtrack
that's
in the back of your head. I feel like that's where he might be. And I have songs like that, too. Let's go next to Terry in Appleton. Terry, hi.
Hello.
What sad song do you like?
Behind the Sun by Eric Clapton, pop album with the same name. It's not a real long song, but it's very touching.
Is there a special time or moment in your life that you associate with the song?
No.
When do you usually find yourself turning to it?
When I have that CD in.
Thanks a lot, Terry. Reason. Yeah, that works for me. Thanks so much, Terry. We have a couple of our songs, Halima, loaded up. Pick one of the ones you gave us to check out, one of your sad songs.
So one of my favorite sad songs is by Daniel Caesar. It is called We Find Love.
Let's give a listen. So you don't love me anymore, I think, has got to be the key sentiment of about 80 to 90% of all the sad songs out there.
It really is. And like, I don't feel like you need to go through a breakup to enjoy a breakup song. You just need to feel some kind of rejection at some point in your life.
Right. And it's kind of a, you know, take that too. Let's see how you like this song.
Yeah.
You're like me.
Yeah.
Check out my song.
If you're a little petty, like I can be sometimes. Sad music really does it for you.
Well, that fits the bill. Let's go back to our callers. Matthew is with us in Centuria. Matthew, hi.
Hi.
What do you got for us, Matthew?
Tom Trobert's Blues by Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, he can be real sad.
Oh, yeah, he can be very dark, but his lyrics, to me, his lyrics are phenomenal.
Well, part of it's the delivery, too. Like, he can sell a lot of pain in his voice.
Oh, definitely. He's got the growl. I listen to it quite often, and as sad as it is, it does pick me up.
Matthew, thank you so much for sharing that. We are asking you to share your favorite sad songs at 800-642-1234. New research showing that sad music can actually help us feel better. And we just heard something about the science. We want your recommendations at 800-642-1234.
Now we'll go to Bill in Spooner. Bill, hi.
Hello.
What is your sad song?
Well, this is about a sad song. If you're of a certain age, you remember David Gates and Bread, and he had a number of maudlin hits. And I shared a house with three guys in college, and when one of them broke up with his girlfriend and was very depressed about it, we played David Gates relentlessly, just over and over and over again, and it made him really mad and throwing things and screaming at us. And we think that we helped him through a difficult period.
You think that? Wait a minute.
Yeah, what does your friend think?
Does he agree?
I don't know. I'll have to get in touch with him.
Yeah, you will.
By the end of the evening, we thought we cheered him up. He was yelling at us.
Okay.
Things are back to normal.
Well, in any case, I think Bill is really speaking my language here. There is nothing like a sad song after a breakup, and especially
when somebody else's breakup.
Yeah, but you know, when your friends try to make fun of you after a breakup, you're just mad at your friends. You don't have time to think about your own personal suffering. I think Bill did the right thing.
Friends make fun of you after a breakup. That actually reminds me of the line in "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes," the old song. Now. Laughing friends deride, tears I cannot hide. Find some new friends. Break up with them. Back to your calls now. Tom is on the line in Waukesha. Tom, hi.
Hi.
What's your song, Tom?
A Genius by Warren Zevon.
Oh, he had some sad ones. I don't know his catalog that well. What's that song about?
He talks about people who have managed to be genius in a certain way, but the lyrics aren't sad, but the music kind of is.
Interesting.
He's also got some other ones that he plays around with that same way. One of his earlier ones, Excitable Bull, is a happy little ditty about a murderer.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. Thanks a lot, Tom. Our science guest was talking about how when you contrast happy music, sad lyrics, or vice versa, that can really set things off a little bit.
And I think Tom made another important point there. Sometimes it's not always about the lyrics.
Right.
It's about the music itself. It's about this emotion it evokes in you. And you kind of assign that sad meaning to it if you want to.
I want to listen to one of the ones I set up. Again, I listen to a lot of dreary music. Here's one by Nine Inch Nails. Not one of the more rockin' ones. This is The Great Below. So I love this song. It's beautiful. I think it's about drowning, literally and metaphorically.
That's
kind of
what it sounds
I'm
like.
Not really a lyrics guy, so it takes me like 50 times of listening to something like that.
How well can you swim, Rob?
You know, I could use some lessons. I drown pretty well. I swim pretty well. At least I can stay afloat anyway. But anyway, Nine Inch Nails is one of those really dark, kind of heavy things. I'm a pretty happy guy, but I love kind of dark, dreary, depressing music. I don't know where that comes from.
Absolutely. And I feel like you've called me zany before, and I'm very happy to talk about sad music. I don't think you have to be a sad person to enjoy sad music.
True. Well, let's get back to your calls now. Karen on the line in Grays Lake, Illinois. Karen, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Do you have a song or two for us?
I have two. The first is the saddest, and it's Jim Croce's Operator.
Oh, I know that one, yeah.
And the Beatles, Places I Remember. And that's not, we were saying it's really not sad as much as contemplative, because you could play it when you're just content with, you know, people that you want to be with. But the first one's definitely sad, sad.
Karen, thank you so much for sharing those. And we'll go to Renee in Madison with a couple suggestions. Renee, hi.
Hi.
What songs do you have for us, Renee?
Well, I have two. One that I sort of just sing naturally, like when I'm doing the dishes and feeling down and stuff, is Making Believe by Emmylou Harris. Real break-your-heart stuff.
Okay.
And also, I love Alison Krauss's version of a Keith Whitley song, Ghost in This House.
All right, and you sing these while you're doing dishes in a bad mood. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's one of the things. And well, I sing all the time. But, you know, but Alison Krauss's version, Keith Whitley's version of Ghost in This House was just super touching already. But she will just break your heart with that song. It's just beautiful. I mean, it's heart-wrenching but beautiful at the same time.
Renee, thanks so much for sharing that. Thank you for all your calls. You can keep suggestions coming on the Central Time Facebook page. Halima, you were saying, we were saying before we started this, we kept thinking of more songs. Is there one you want to go back and listen to now after this conversation?
Oh, man, there's so many. I think every song that Frank Ocean has ever written, he is the king of writing sad songs. What about you?
I've got to go back and listen to a Black Heart Procession album that's just jam-packed with downers. Total downers. Hey, thanks to Carl Christensen, by the way, for loading actually a lot of music, more than we were able to use. Again, you can keep this sad song conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page.